other side Jordan, by the way where the sun goeth down, in the land of the Canaanites, which dwell in the champaign over against Gilgal, beside the plains of Moreh. For ye shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. Notice that. He says, for you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. And ye shall possess it and dwell therein. And ye shall observe to do all the statutes and judgments which I set before you this day. Now he says in verse 24, every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. And I just want to preach tonight from this subject, the power of a walk. The power of a walk. I wonder if you would just reach out to heaven right now. God, we don't want just another service, but God, we're asking that heaven would meet earth, and God, your people who have gathered together, Lord, would not only be blessed and strengthened and anointed, but God, that there would be a divine, Lord, act that would take place to bring us into that promised land, Lord, of what you want to do. Come on, I believe it. Oh, would you join your faith with mine and say, God, we want you to do a work unlike we've seen you do so far. We want there to be an outpouring. We want there to be victory. But God, ultimately, all we want is what you want. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord with me if you believe that? Praise God, praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. This was spoken to God's people, as we know, and they are about to step into the promised land. They have been called out of Egypt, and they've walked for a long time, Pastor. They have walked for quite a number of years now, and so they've come out of the power, out of the care, if you want to call it that, but really the abuse, Brother Worse, of a group that hated their guts, and they held on to them, but they walked out of that place, and they walked into the wilderness. They walked across the Red Sea. So it was all of these things that began to happen, and so they've already shed their unbelief in the wilderness because God did so many miracles. And yet they still had some struggles, but they had begun to see the hand of God, and he prepared them to inhabit the promise. But can I just take a step back and just go back to the very beginning and show you the very importance of a walk? You see, Brother Hunter, that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, the Bible says, and they heard, this being Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves. See, God began to walk with them out of the gate. It was God's desire. See, he came and began to walk with them. And God wanted to be with them. And yet sin separated them. Sin brought the disconnection. And so we can maybe, we don't have to be Sherlock Holmes per se to really deduce that this scripture was God's way of and his habit of coming and being with them day by day. And therefore we find the purpose of their hiding was they were trying to hide out from God. And just a couple chapters later in Genesis chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible says, and Enoch walked with God. See, Genesis 5:22 is, if you want to really say it this way, Brother John, it's a blurb. It's a footnote of history. And yet, if you want to put it up there, Brother Henry, because I want you to see this, Genesis 5:22, the Bible references Enoch. There's only a small number of chapters or verses that even include Enoch's name. And we don't know what his status was. We don't know how much money Enoch had. We know that he had a son named Methuselah, and that after 300 years he begat him and sons and daughters, and we understand this. But verse 23 tells us that, and all the days of Enoch were 365. So we know that Enoch walked with God.
And we know that he had Methuselah. And then he lived for 365 years. But the Bible then goes on and it clarifies in verse 24. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. See, Enoch's got a testimony that nobody else has. Enoch's got a testimony that he can't be Elon Musk. He's the richest man in the world, somewhere in the vicinity of $800 billion. They say is his amount of value. But can I tell you? Nobody else can say because I walked with God. God said, you know what? I can't stand being apart from you any longer. I've got to come to earth. But you know what? I can translate you. I can pick you up off of this earth and take you. Can I let you know? Tonight, saint of God, it's not about what you have in your pocket. It's not about what you can say you got in the bank. But God cares about, are you walking with me every day? Come on. I may not have my name in lights. I may not be able to see the billboards proclaim my fame. But I can say I get to walk with the King of Kings. I get to be in the presence of the Almighty. And I may not walk fast. I may not have the strongest legs, but I can walk with God. And Enoch realized he had a power with God because of a walk. Come on, saint of God. It's time for you to begin to realize it's not how smart I am, how talented I am, what I can do with my hands, but God's interested. Are you willing to walk with me? When God looks around and wants to save a world, you know who he looks for? Brother Garrett, you know who he looks for? Genesis 17 and 1. Or Genesis 6 and 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in all his generations. And Noah walked with God. See, God can trust those that walk with him with things that he can't trust non-walkers with. Go ahead, Brother Henry. You can put it back up. I just go ahead and show you. He was just man and perfect. See, you would say, but I'm not just or I'm not perfect. But you know what? How you get there? You just keep walking. See, because you begin to take on the attributes of the one who is there. I want to let somebody know your struggles and your battles don't define you. Who you walk with defines you. And if you'll say, you know what? I can get back up. I can get back up. I can get back up tonight. And I can begin to walk with God. Come on. God wants to save this world. But he can't trust everybody to build an ark. But if you can be like Noah and say, God, I don't know how to build an ark. I've never built an ark. But God, if I can walk with you long enough, you can show me the plans. You can give me the intelligence. You can give me the wisdom. Ah, come on. That's the same thing that happened to Abraham. And Abraham in 17 and 1 of the book of Genesis was 99 years old. It don't matter how old you get, brother. It don't matter, sis, if the bones creak. But the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Uh-oh, I can't be perfect. I'm just me. I'm just living in flesh and blood and bone. I can't. Walk with me. And he'll make you perfect. Walk with God and he will show you. So if Abraham, as an old man, learn the power of a walk. What about if you start learning about it now? Nobody clap. See, probably y'all probably have just recently celebrated the walking of those two little fellas. You probably remember the days when they would begin to kind of find their way. And we celebrate them. Like, good job, buddy. Look at you. You're walking. And not a single one of y'all clapped for me when I came in tonight. Look at me. I ain't stumbled one time. How about that? But you know what, Brother Worse? I didn't expect anybody to, because it's normal. It's mundane. It's just every one of us do it. That's why you didn't clap for me, because you've been doing it all day yourself. As soon as you roll out of bed, boom, hit the floor, you start walking. It's just as normal and mundane as life itself. It's just me walking. Now, it's only important when you can't do it no more. When you're too young or too old or you got some kind of condition. But when you begin to walk, when you begin to walk into life and just, it's almost to that point where I just forget about walking. And I can walk and you can walk. And really to walk is to live. We consider people who are forcibly handicapped because of situations. But you can say how you want to, but most of us think, man, they're not living as much life as the rest of us. Oh, you go ahead and say it. You go act like you're hoity-toity and you ain't never thought it. But you see it and you think, man, that's tough. Because they can't go where they want to go. They've got to go on the ADA sidewalks. They got to enter this place and that place. You see them as not able to do as much. But how many of us have allowed Satan to put us into spiritual wheelchairs? When God wants us walking. And we say, well, I'm just a baby in Christ. But babies, they begin to feel their way until they figure it out. Come on, why did you sit down and quit trying when God's calling you to walk into things and to walk into places? Come on, I'm not supposed to be there. I can't go there. Oh, but the Lord told Abram in Genesis 13, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. But what does he say in verse 17? He says, arise, walk through the land. Why? Because God wanted him to know that where you put your feet is where I'm going to place you and give you dominion over it. Come on. Because at the end in verse number 18, he said when Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. You know what a real walk does? A real walk will lead you to an altar. A real walk will lead you past, come on, places that would debilitate you and take life out of you. But a real walk will cause you to build an altar. Come on, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all of these men knew what it was to walk with God and to build altars. Come on, you want to learn to walk with God? Meet him at an altar and he'll pick you up by the hand. He'll lead you into places where you can't take yourself, where you can't get by yourself. Come on, he'll take you and put you in rooms that you never thought you would get to. Oh, but what did we read? If we'll obey, oh, keep his commandments, love the Lord your God, walk in his ways, and cleave. This is the most underrated, I think, in all of this. Brother Marcus, this word cleave. It's the same word that he says, a husband shall leave his family and a wife shall leave her family and cleave unto each other. It's not only covenant, it's deep relationship, it's intimacy. It's you. God wants all of you. God wants everything. He don't want you half-hearted saying, hey, I kind of love you. I'll wave a hand on Wednesday night, and on Sunday I'll tap my toe and clap my hands. But the rest of the week, don't you get to asking for too much, Jesus. But guess what? God said, if you'll cleave unto him and you'll keep his commandments and you'll love him and you'll walk in his ways, what would he do for you? You know what he said, Brother Greg? He said he would drive out all these nations from before you, and you would possess nations that are greater and mightier than yourselves. But he said every place where the sole of your feet would touch would be yours. You know why we don't have some territory? It's because we ain't put our feet on it yet. Come on. God's wanting us to walk into those places and we're worried about what our shoes are. God's wanting us to walk into victory and we're just worried because we've been walking a long time and I'm tired. Oh, but I wish somebody tonight would get some Holy Ghost gumption and say, God said if I put my foot on it, I can have it. Come on. I know some people that have begun to walk around houses, neighborhoods, and places, and they got what God would give them because by the power of their walk and their faith, they put it. Come on. But you're worried about the people out there. But he said, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all of the land. Can I ask the saints of New Life Tabernacle, how did children of Israel come out of Egypt? They took a helicopter ride. Oh, they walked? How? But hold on a minute. There was a whole army that was chasing them, Pastor. How did they outrun the army? God separated the waters, and they had to run for their lives across the. How did they get across an entire sea, an entire nation of people? How did they get across an impossibility? See, you're so worried about where you're trying to get from A to Z. And God says, you just walk with me from A to B. I'll take care of the rest. Come on, one step at a time. I'm walking. And as I begin to walk, the same walk that got me out of Egypt is the same walk that's going to get me across the Red Sea. It's the same walk that's going to lead me through the wilderness. Come on. And it's the same walk that's going to bring me into the promised land. Come on. Some of you, the devil's convinced you to buy property in the wilderness and to buy a little plot of land and to settle down. But God's just trying to tell somebody, come on, it's time to pack your bags and start walking. Come on, you can't get past the wilderness unless you keep walking. You can't enter that place of promise unless you keep walking. Come on, God is wanting to strengthen somebody's walk tonight. God's wanting to stir somebody up to the place where you began to say, it's not about what I can do, but God in me. Can I prove it to you tonight? Come on, Brother Henry, go with me. Joshua 6:13. Come on, don't sit on me. We're fixing to ramp up into this thing. But verse number 13 of Joshua 6 says, and the seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord, they went on continually and with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rear reward or the rear guard came after, and they came along blowing with the trumpets. But the verse 14 says, and the second day they compassed the city once. Now I'll just translate that. Compassed, they walked. Wow. Here we are, entering into the promised land, the place where God wants us, Pastor, the place in Augusta where we feel like we're starting to have something start to break open. And God says, to walk?
Yeah, come on.
Like, how mundane and basic is this? And they walked, and they returned to the camp. But on Monday, they walked. You know what? It's not too bad. I'm not just a little dusty, but it's Tuesday. Well, here we go again.
Yeah.
Been down this path before. I walked around these walls. Yeah, I saw that crack in them. I saw that one house. I saw those. Day three, here we go. It's Wednesday. Well, another day, another dollar, here we go, or another shekel. And so here we go, just getting through this. This God keeps telling us we got to keep walking, and they just keep leading us around this same old. It's so mundane. Aren't y'all bored yet? Like, come on. It's this dumb guy just walking around. Here it is. Going again. And some of us spiritually are dealing with this. That it's not exciting enough. It's not exciting enough on Monday or Tuesday. It's not exciting enough Thursday, Friday. And Saturday I'm exhausted from my work. And I'm still walking. But I don't understand it. Well, God, help me to give you some revelation. And when they compassed it, verse 15, on the seventh day, and they went around seven times. At verse 16, and it came to pass the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. See, we all want to shout and praise God. I do too. But Brother Troy, here's the reality of it. A 15-minute shout can't bring the walls down. But a week's walk and a 15-minute shout can. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to be weary and well-doing. So when it comes time on Sunday to shout and the walls to come down, you're too tired and you quit halfway and you wondered if God was even there. Why was I even walking? It's fruitless. It's pointless. But I'm here to tell somebody tonight, God's saying, get back up on your feet. Come on. Because the priest is leading the way. And every time that he leads the way, the trumpet's going to sound and the people got to shout. Come on, your shout only breaks the walls down if you will do a 7-day walk. Come on, I believe tonight that there's somebody that their voice is going to be lifted and the walls will begin to fall. Come on, because you're going to begin to say, God, I've been walking with you. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm worn out. I'm confused. I've got some questions, but I've still been walking. God, I don't know where you're taking us, but I'm still walking. Don't make me remind you about Isaiah 40 and 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Come on, somebody say it. They shall walk. And what won't happen? They won't faint. Why? Because if you're waiting upon the Lord, if you're walking with Him, come on, that strength that seemed to be sapped yesterday, the enemy that seemed to tell you you can't do it, come on, when I'm in the presence of God, I began to see these walls can't stand. Come on, this weariness can't stay. I am a child of God. Come on, is God asking you to have a bigger degree? Is God asking you to figure it out and be more intellectual? Is God asking you to have more money? No, He's trying to tell somebody, you got power in your walk. If you'll just keep walking, if you'll just take another step. Come on, somebody, you need to hear me tonight. There's healing in the house. But what did Jesus say in Mark chapter 2? He said, is it easier for me to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk? Come on, don't lay in the sick bed. Oh, saint of God, don't lay in the place of disease, but get up. Come on, your body may be weary. It may be disease ridden, but get up in your spirit and begin to walk. Get up in your spirit and begin to pray. Get up in your spirit and begin to say, God, I believe. Don't make me shotgun you with these. In Romans 6 and 4, he said we should also walk in newness of life. In Romans 8 and 4, he said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. See, if we walk after our flesh, that's why we get tired. If we walk after our flesh, that's why we get a little disillusioned. If we walk after our flesh, we're ready to quit. But that's why Paul said, but we, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled, who walk not after the flesh. Come on, I'm not walking by what makes sense, but I'm saying, God, let the Spirit lead me. Come on, we know Romans 8 and 9 says, but they that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. Come on, God ain't gonna lead you if you're parked out in your easy chair, but God can lead you if you're walking with Him. Yea, though I walk, come on, not though I camp out in the valley of the shadow of death, but yea, though I walk. Come on, the devil wants you to camp out somewhere to lick your wounds and pick yourself back up. Oh, in time, take your time. But the devil wants you to lay there until you die. But God's saying, come on, we walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, but then I say, oh, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. You didn't realize there was as much walking in the Bible. Walk, 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 walk. I wasn't planning this, but I talked a little bit last night. What happened to Simon Peter? You know what though? You know what my contention is? See, here's the problem, sis, is that's a supernatural walk. That's not possible for us. But Simon Peter didn't learn a new walk. He used the exact same one that he'd used the day before and the day before and the day before. Are you catching what I'm saying? You think you got to learn some new skills and some new water walking talents. And God says, just use the same walk you've been walking with me. If you'll just keep walking with me, I'll take you places that you'll never be able to go by yourself. Come on. And when he came down out of the ship, he walked on the water. You know what Simon Peter did? He just walked on faith. He just said, you know what? I've never walked on water, but Jesus said walk, so I'm walking. Jesus said to walk. Can I tell you, there's some situations that you don't have power over, but you just say, okay, God, I'm walking. And guess what? There's a road over a road. Come on, somebody, you better hear me. Come on, God will begin to make a road, an underwater road on dry land. God will begin to lead you into places, and then your enemies, the ones that were following you, when they begin to walk across there, the water began to collapse upon their enemies, and he said, you'll never see them again. You know why? Because by their walk, they showed their faith. Show me your faith by your walk. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Keep walking. Pastor, I'm concerned about some things in my life. Keep walking. Pastor, I'm running out of money. And I don't even know if I have gas money to come to church. Keep walking. Come on. And God's going to make a way. God's going to lead you out. God's going to bring you through. But can I tell you one more story and I'm done. There was four that were sitting outside of the gate. The gate to Samaria. Uh-huh. All right, I need some lepers. All right, you three jokers, come on. I gotta look like the little one. Now, I don't know what lepers there were that were there, but they weren't all together, because leprosy ate at them. So I don't know if one was missing a foot. I don't know if one was missing an arm. I don't know if one was eat up in the middle. So you be whatever leper you want to be. Go ahead. So I can barely walk, okay? So, see? And you know what? Y'all get laughing at us, but y'all are safe inside the city. We can get destroyed at any moment. And y'all won't even let us in the city. We're outcasts. They don't want us. When we come around, they got to say, we got to say, unclean. Ain't none of y'all dropping bread over the wall. But y'all suffering too. Y'all trying to eat your own kids. We're just out here losing body parts daily. I ain't got no ears. At least my wife thinks I don't. Ha. But here I am. I'm a leper. Not accepted by everybody. Nobody wants us. Nobody wants us. But guess what? Why are we just going to sit here until we die? They're, you know, if we go over there, they may kill us. But we were going to die anyway. Why are we just going to sit here and die when we can actually do something? We ain't got a lot. We ain't got no weapons. We probably ain't got a whole lot of smarts.
Yep. Yeah, totally.
I did meet you guys.
Yep.
And I'm there too. But we got will.
Yep.
And we can go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you know what? Come on, let's go. We're a raggedy muffin group, but let's go. Come on. And here we go. See, y'all think we look funny, and we probably do, but guess what? What the Bible says, that as those four lepers, come on, they didn't run. Oh, they didn't jump and shout. They just started walking, and from heaven. And from heaven, there came some air support, and God began to make a noise, and they said, I don't know what's happening, but in the Midianite camp, something's going on. Maybe Israel has brought an army, and we're not going to be able to do it, but it was just four men that said, look what God can do if we'll give him a chance. We're not great, we're not mighty, we don't have a lot going, but if we begin to walk. So what's the devil convinced you can't do? I don't see anybody here tonight that can't walk. You know why we sometimes quit walking? Because in our mind we get tired and we get weary and we give up. But you know what? I can walk again. But what about when I can't walk anymore? What does 2 Corinthians 6:16 say? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them. Go ahead, Brother Henry. 2 Corinthians 6:16, because I want to make sure I'm not reading this wrong, Brother Michael. Read that out loud. Where he says, God has said, I will do what? Wait, what?
And walk in them.
And wait, what?
Walk in them.
Okay, this got to be somebody else. Somebody else said this. What did God, he said God said this? I got to get up close. I can be nearsighted sometimes. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them. And do what? And you're worried you can't walk? Don't worry no more. Let God do the walking. There's some saints of God here tonight. Come on, you're going to get your walk back when you begin to say, God, come and dwell in here. Come and dwell in this vessel. God, I need you to do some things that are impossible for me to do. Come on, there's some water that needs to be walked on top of, but I can't walk it. There's some walls that need to come down, but unless you start walking, they're going to stand.